Let's turn in our Bibles, 1 Chronicles chapter 14, 1 Chronicles chapter 14, and verse 14 and 15. Therefore David inquired again of God, and God said unto him, Go not up after them, turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be when thou shalt hear a sound of going, a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go unto battle. For God is gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. Let's quickly turn over to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Verse 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. May the Lord bless the reading of the word. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this word. Lord, thank you that you preserve these scriptures for us, that we can turn now, Lord, in this last age to read them and edify ourselves from them, Lord, to grow spiritually from them. Father, we want to just glean from this scripture tonight, Lord. Father, would you just anoint us, get us outside of the way, Lord, and would you just speak to your people tonight. Use our gift, Lord, to minister this word, Lord, and may you touch your bride this evening, we pray. Bless us now in fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated this evening. We want to take a text this evening, the sound of the mulberry tree. The sound of the mulberry tree. And as we're reading here in the scripture, in Chronicles, it says that when you should hear a sound of going in the mulberry tree. And so what is a sound of going? A sound is firstly a noise. It is the word of God. It is God speaking. It is a noise. The word of God has been spoken in word form in our ear so that we could hear. Hear ye the word of the Lord. A sound of going. Going means to take action. Action on the word of God. So first we must hear the sound of the word of God, and then we must take action and go move on it. We must take action on what the scripture has said, what the prophet has brought to us, and we need to hear it and take action. That's a sound of going. And as David was waiting on the Lord for us to hear this sound, the word of the Lord, so that he could go into action, into battle, we must do the same way in our lives. David was instructed by God to wait before proceeding into battle. If we could just dramatize this a little bit tonight, it was David leading his troops of men, leading his soldiers, his army, and he's come maybe over a hill, and there he could see the Philistines down in the valley, and he's coming with a promise that he would have victory over these Philistines. The Lord has led him into this battle, and as he comes over the hill here, God stops him and says, David, wait a moment. Because the scripture said David inquired again of God. That means he came a second time, maybe a third time. He had asked God, is it time yet? Is it time, Lord, for me to go on and deliver the people out of these Philistines? And so as he came, the Lord stopped him there in his way and said, wait, David, it's not time yet. And so there he tarried on the hill maybe, and next to this group of mulberry trees. And God spoke to David and said, just wait until you hear a sound of the rustling of the mulberry trees. And that exact moment when you hear the sound of the trees moving, that's the time to move. You see, as David's army came up over that hill, maybe they were at an advantage point that they could see the enemy. David knew that the Philistines were down on the other end. He could see them. They had an advantage point that they could see the enemy that they were about to conquer. Likewise, we tonight have an advantage point that we can see the enemy that's ahead of us. We can see the devil and his tactics, and we've been taught by the scripture and by the revelation of this end time message that we have the victory. We can see the enemy, we can see his devices, and we can see exactly what's ahead of us, and so we have an advantage point tonight that we can have the victory. But it was only once David heard the rustling of the mulberry trees that he could go. Why? It was because it was God's perfect timing. It was God's timing, and as the time of the sound passed through the mulberry trees, then that was God moving through the tree. It was God moving before them so that they could go on into battle. You see, if David would have gone without waiting for that rustling of the mulberry tree, he would have been going without God's approval. He would have been moving before God. And you cannot have victory with moving before God. If God is not speaking you, it's time to move. If you go ahead of God's plan, you will not have victory. It was God stepping out before the Israelites. It was God stepping before David's men and David. That's how God intended it to be. It wasn't any man stepping out on his own trying to win the battle. If you step out on your own will and your own personality and your own abilities, you'll never win the battle. You'll fall flat on your face every single time because God is not with you. That's what was wrong with Israel in the first place. They wanted to follow their own placing. They wanted a king instead of waiting on God through a prophet. God had an intended way to speak through a prophet, and the prophet would deliver the message to the people for them to obey. But what did they do? They got impatient. They got ahead of God's perfect schedule, and they got a man involved ahead of God's perfect will. God wanted to anoint David as chosen king, and through David would come the lineage of Christ, and through David would come the true deliverer, which happened. But the people got ahead of God's schedule, and that was not God's perfect way. God had it that way. Even the Levites of Old of Testament, what would they do? They would carry the ark before the people. That was the ark, the covenant, the word of God going before the people into battle. That's how God had it. No one could go before it. The ark of the covenant had to come first. That represented the word. That represent God made flesh leading in the fight. We need to have Christ leading in our fight. We have to have God leading our pathway so that when we come into battle, that we can have victory. We can have assurance that we'll have victory. Now, God was leading, and David was yielding into scripture here. God wants you to yield tonight. God wants you to come to him and lay down your life and say, Lord Jesus, I lay it all down before you. I give it all to you. Whatever all that I am in myself, in my personal being, I give it all to you. And I want to yield to your perfect plan. God wants you to wait on him and wait for that signal. It's time to move. We, in every decision of our lives, we should be waiting on God. And even how insignificant it should be, but we should ask, come to the Lord. Lord, is this the plan for my life? Is this what you would have for me? Is this the decision, big or small? Lord, is this what you would have for me? And when the Lord would respond to us, then that's when we should go forward in faith, taking the word of the Lord in our lives. Because God has a perfect will and a permissive will. He has a perfect will of what he has planned for your life before the foundation of the world. He saw you, like we heard this morning. He saw a picture of you when you came into this world. And he sees a picture at the end of your life. There's a perfect will in between those two points. There's a perfect will where God has intended for you to live and for you to walk and for you to obey. But sometimes in our own flesh, sometimes in our own way, we decide that we have other plans and we have other thinkings. And so what does God do? He allows it to happen through correction of the word. And that's called the permissive will of God. God allows things to happen to us and allows us to make decisions and go our way through his careful correction, and it leads us where? To the end of the story. But there is a perfect will. And I could tell you tonight, if we would find the perfect will of God every single time in our life, life would be so much easier. And we would have so many more victories, so many more easy victories, because we've yielded to the perfect plan of God. Brother Branham says in The Life Story, 1951, "Now there's a perfect way and a permissive way. And I feel that if God here on the platform can show me things that has been and in my rooms and so forth, he's able to tell me just where he wants me and what he wants me to do." Now, this is the prophet speaking with a prophetic gift on his life. But it's the same in our lives. If the Lord can show you something, if the Lord could teach you something through his word, then he wants to be able to tell you exactly what he wants you to do. He continues, "But I feel as long as I've got it all hooked up, or I feel like he won't put his hands on it as long as I'm doing it." And that's the way it is. Anything. What the prophet is saying here is he's saying, as long as you've got your hands on things on your life, as long as you're trying to keep it all hooked together and you're trying in your own self to keep things going, then his hands will not be on it. If we put our own efforts and our own personal thinkings into our lives, then his hands, those holy hands, are not going to be holding our lives. As long as you're going to do it, if someone talks about you and you talk back about them, God can't fight your battle. You're fighting it yourself. Just think about that for a moment tonight, what the prophet's really saying here. If we're talking about other people and we're creating waves of discord and we're causing things, then God cannot fight your battle because you're not in tune with him. See, just let loose and let him do it and just commit to him. The greatest weapon that I know of a Christian today is a committal to God. When you can't do nothing about it, just commit it to him and God will take care of it. If we could just do this more in our lives, if we could have our situations and even our day-to-day struggles, if we would just follow a committal to God, if we could just surrender and say, "Lord, I commit it to you. I'm going to put it in your hands by faith and move on. Lord, I trust that you will do it." God will take care of it. You see, we could do whatever we want to. We're made free moral agents in this world. You can go out and do anything that you want to, and God is not going to send lightning and thunder to stop you. He won't. You might be waiting for it, but he's not going to send any big supernatural signs to stop you. But he's going to let you go on your way because that's his permissive will. But he's going to come back and he's going to correct you through the word of God. And he's going to show you exactly where you've led wrong. Exactly where you stepped out of his word. Exactly where you've stepped out of his perfect will. And he will bring you right back into the center of the path where he has planned for you. But if you wait on God, if we lead not on our own understandings and let God speak, then we will find his will for our lives. And we will be able to go out into battle, go out after the sound of the word of God, and be fully equipped for victory. Why is that? It's because he went first. It's because God went before us. He took the step first, and we're following right in behind God, right in the pathway that he has divinely orchestrated. 1954, the great coming revival and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I see a moving. David, one time when he was going out to battle, he was lying out there wondering, oh, look at the opposition I have with the Philistines. Now he's accounting the story we've read in the scripture. What Philistines are in your way tonight? We all have Philistines. We all have troubles, and trials, and we have all little things that come up. Which Philistines are in your way this evening? What stumbling stones are in your way? Now, when we have stumbling stones, it's something that we trip on or something that it inhibits our pathway. And when you come to a stumbling stone, you have two options. You have option one, which is to trip over the trial, which is to maybe we'd fail or we'd struggle. And then we'd use that as an excuse to say we tripped. Say, I messed up, I tripped here, I can't do it again, I can't go that way. It's a stumbling stone. It inhibits our path. Or the second option we have is to use this stone that we've tripped on, observe the situation, take a step back, ask the Lord some favor, what we could do, ask the Lord to show us in the Word where we can overcome this, find the strength through the Holy Spirit, and then we can use this trial as a stepping stone to higher ground. We can use this trial to overcome, and we can gain faith, and we can gain experience by our life's troubles, and we can move on to higher ground with the Lord Jesus. Continuing on, Brother Branham says, look what's laying ahead of me out there. I can't go until I have some sign from God. After a while, he heard the mulberry bushes a-going, moving. He raised and gripped his sword and said, let's go. He knew that God was going before him then, for there was a sign going before him. If we could just realize tonight that the Word of God, this voice, is the sign that we are to get up and to get into battle. It's no longer time for us to sit and watch the enemy down at the bottom of the hill, but because we've heard the voice of the seventh angel in this last time, it is now time to raise up our swords as David did and get up and fight the enemy. It's time to get up and get ready for battle. David knew when that signal broke, he did not want to wait around and wait for some days or some hours or some time for him to get ready for battle. But every morning, maybe it was a couple days while David and his men were waiting there, but every morning, every moment, there sat David listening, quietly listening, waiting for that rustle in the mulberry tree so that he could get up and take his sword and his shield and go into battle. He didn't wait around and question if God was speaking. He didn't wait around and wait and say, was that really a rustle? Who was that really God that rustled the trees? But he was ready and jumped right into battle because he had confidence in who was before him. David had confidence because he knew Christ. He knew who he was working with. He knew who his leader was. And he had a fellowship and a relationship with God so that when he went into this situation and the mulberry tree began to rustle and he saw that sign of God, that he was ready and he was willing and to move into action. Continuing on in this quotation, I tell you, brother, today if there ever was a time since I can remember, or any time that I can read in history since the going away of our Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of the Holy Spirit in the first age, it's today. There's a sign. There's a moving in the mulberry bushes. God's moving ahead in this nation. Just as sure as anything, signs and wonders are beginning to appear. And that we see we're at the end time. And this was in 1954, Brother Branham spoke this. This was many years ago when Brother Branham said that there is God's moving ahead in this nation. God has not taken back his word, but he's still continuing on with his chosen people. He's still continuing on with us, and there has been a moving in the mulberry tree. There has been a moving in the fellowship amongst the people, amongst the bride, and in the word that is preparing us to get into battle. Are you ready for action? Are you ready to jump into action against the enemy and fight with the word as your weapon and salvation as your shield? David was their captain. David led them. David led them following the leadership of God. He was in tune with God and he was leading the people. But tonight, Jesus is our captain. David was a type of Christ. And just the same way, Jesus is our captain for this end time. Jesus is the one that's leading us into the fight. He's giving us signals on how to defeat the enemy. He's giving us the wisdom and the knowledge and the revelation on how to defeat the enemy. And it's all in the Word of God. We don't have to go searching and finding and looking all kinds of places for the answers to our questions and the answers to our problems. But it's all in this revealed Word. It's all in the Bible. So it's time tonight that we take the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and fight with the Word against the devil. We need to take the Word and fight. We don't need to take any other doctrines or any other books we've read or anything else, but we need to take the Word of God, this Bible, and begin to eat it. We need to study it. We need to read it and let it become part of us so that when we get into a difficult spot, when we get into a trial, that those things that we've studied, those things that have become part of us, then we can minister against the enemy and we can deliver ourselves from our situation through the Word of God. Christ is calling us. It's time to fight. It's time to get up. There was a time for listening. There was a time where David had to listen, wait patiently for the Word of God. And once we've heard the Word of God, then it's time for action. It's time for action. It's time to get involved. It's time to seek out the promises of deliverance. Sometimes I think we're preaching and speaking and talking about how there is deliverance, there's freedom, there's all these things in the scripture, but it's time for us personally to go home, get into the scripture, and find where the deliverance is. Find the scriptures that when we're in a jam, we can quote these scriptures back to the devil and say, by the word, I can overcome. By the word of God, I have victory, because that's what's going to make us get us through the fight. It's time to search out what it means to be living in holiness by the sacrifice of our heart. What it truly means to live a holy and pleasing life before God. Not because it's the rules and the social standards of the message, but because we are committed to God in sanctified holiness. To be pleasing and acceptable before God. It's no longer time just to rehearse the repetitious words of I live a holy life. I live holiness. But we need to get into the Word and find out exactly where in the Scripture, exact for ourselves, where the Lord has taught us this, where the Lord has come. Because when it comes to a time that you're questioned or you're tempted or you come into a place where somebody's asking you something of what you believe, then it's time that you come and you show the Word of God of what you have studied, what the Lord has given to you, so that you can defeat the enemy. I believe that's what this new generation needs. That's what we all need, is a good refresher on holiness and the standards according to the Word of God. We need a refreshing and a refilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives to restore the joy of our salvation. We might come to church and we've become to get in a routine where we come Sunday and Wednesday and we go to Bible studies and we go to different things, but it's time that we realize that there's a joy in our salvation. Really, what's the reason why you're so happy? It's because you have joy of what the Lord has done for you. Amen. When we say, I have the joy of salvation, do we really know what we're saying? Do we really live that expression of joy? The joy of happiness of what God did. The joy of happiness realizing that Christ died on the cross. He gave his only son. Somebody died so that you could have salvation. Christ physically died. He physically went through stripes and pain and agony so that you and I could have a second chance, so that you and I could be redeemed. And when we come to the realization of what God really has done, then we can have joy of salvation. Then when we come into church and we get excited and somebody takes off dancing in the spirit, or somebody gets happy and somebody screams out, then we can understand why they're so happy. It's because they have joy. It's because they've realized what God's done. We get lost in the terms sometimes, but are you happy? Are you joyful? Are you joyful that the Lord turned your life around and gave you eternal life? Amen. He gave you the ability to pass from death unto life. When we leave this world, and if the Lord would take us home, or we would be going to rapture, we're going from this earthly place where our bodies are dying, where we're decaying, into a place of eternal life. Because of the promise that Jesus Christ gave to us. That's something to be happy about. That's something to rejoice over. So that's what all this fighting is about. That's why we're going through all these battles. That's why we're going, because the devil is trying to come against you to inhibit you from your final promise. Your final promise is eternal life. That's the whole thing, is to get to the other side and to be living with Christ Jesus, reigning on the throne with him. He's saying, it's time to get up, David. It's time to go. It was the Spirit of God that was with them, and it's the same Spirit, that same Spirit that rustled the mulberry tree, is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Amen. And we need that same Spirit, that same anointing. We need that same Spirit of God to lead us and guide us in our lives. So let's move back for a moment, back to our second scripture we read, Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Let's just read it again and refresh ourselves. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So we see here in the scripture they had to wait on God. And we can see a parallel here with David, how he waited on God. He had to wait for the sound of the mulberry tree. And so did the disciples in the upper room. They had to wait on God. They had to tarry and pray there, waiting on God to move. None of the disciples could start anything. None of the disciples could put it into action. They didn't even know what was going to happen. They weren't even sure exactly what was going to happen in that time. But they were waiting for something to move. They were waiting for a sign, a signal that God had arrived, or he had fulfilled the promise of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know exactly what that even meant, being baptized with the Holy Ghost. So they were waiting there, just waiting on the Lord, and maybe some expected Christ to come back down or some. They didn't really know exactly, but all they knew is that they had to wait. Yep. And we have to wait on God sometimes. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. Maybe you have a need, or you're putting something before the Lord in prayer, and it seems like nothing's coming, but you don't know exactly what's going to happen. You don't know how God's going to move on that situation, but all he's expected of you, all he's asked of you, is to ask by faith and wait on God. Just wait on him. Because he has a perfect plan. He has perfect timing. It doesn't matter what's going on in the background, what the Lord's moving, shifting things so that he can make your need available. But he is asking you to wait by faith on his promise. Amen. The disciples, they didn't start acting up, trying to work something on. They didn't get up and start exhorting and start a big commotion, trying to allure the people into something. But all they did was wait there. They waited for God to move. And after waiting on the Lord, something suddenly happened. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there were all with one accord in one place." When the day of Pentecost was fully come. Yes. Fully come means it's happening. Yes. Yes. It sounds a little bit past tense, but when we're reading it, the day of Pentecost was fully come. It's happening. Yes. Verse 2, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." A mighty rushing wind, just like the wind that passed through the mulberry tree when David was waiting on the Lord. The same spirit that passed through the mulberry tree, giving David the signal, "It's time to move, David. It's time to fight." That was the same Holy Spirit that came in the day of Pentecost and swept through the house and swept through the upper room, anointing and baptizing the disciples with the Holy Ghost. A sound of mighty rushing wind came through. That was the ushering of the Holy Spirit. God himself returning in spirit just like he promised. Now the thoughts of the disciples that had been fulfilled, that they had experienced what God has promised through their waiting. God came. It was hard to wait. No doubt it was difficult to wait on God's perfect timing. They sat there wondering, man, is Jesus ever going to fulfill what he said? Is it coming day after day? Is it coming? But God came in his perfect timing. And so God will come into your situation after you wait on him in his perfect timing, because that's his perfect plan for your life. Just like the sound of the mulberry tree, the same spirit will blow over your lives and fulfill the promises of God that are in this scripture that he's promised to you in your situations. That's God confirming his word. God coming before you. It's God going first before his people into spiritual battle that we are now in. Jesus came and atoned the sins of the world. That means there's no more sacrificial offerings of the Old Testament. The law has been turned to grace, making this war of flesh and blood against sin now a spiritual battle that we must fight with faith. It's now against principalities and powers. We're not fighting wars like David did. We're not going out with swords and shields slaying the enemy. But we are fighting the devil with principalities and powers by faith. But it's the same principle. It takes God to go before us so we can have the victory. It takes God to take the first step ahead of us so that we can have victory. And as the Holy Spirit came and went before the disciples, it's the same Holy Spirit that we're looking for to speak to us and to let us hear his voice so that he can lead us out of our battles into victory. Yes. It's not just leading us to the battle and letting us stay there and fight on our own, but he's going to lead us all the way through into victory. Yes. 1953, Israel and the Church, number 3. "Oh, I believe this, that there's a great calling coming forth. I believe, as David said, he laid there and waited until he listened and waited. After a while, he heard the rushing wind going through the mulberry trees, leaves, going around. He knowed God was going before him. Oh, brother, I'm listening for the rushing of the leaves, the noise in the mulberry bushes. God's going before the battle. Then let's rise and put on the full armor of God, pull the sword, and go after it." The battle belongs to us then when we see the hand of God moving on through signs and wonders. Let's start following on. I say, let's start following on. I want to experience that. I want to get in to that channel where we can see signs and wonders happening in our midst because we have put God first, because we have let God lead us in the battle. Because we have asked God and we've waited on His presence and we've waited on His Spirit for Him to come and go before us, then we can see God moving on before us. Now watch what happened after the wind came through and God presented Himself before the people. After the Holy Spirit came in the day of Pentecost, they went out to claim the victory. What happened after the Holy Ghost came? It wasn't a small rustling in the tree. On the day of Pentecost, it was no small stirring, but it was a huge uproaring of the Holy Spirit. God came down in cloven tongues of fire, and God was not ashamedly coming to deliver His people. God was not ashamed of His return to the earth in spirit form. He was not ashamed to deliver His people from the Philistines in the day of David. He was not ashamed of it, but He was proud to rustle through the mulberry tree and to deliver His people into victory. So neither did God come ashamedly on the day of Pentecost, but He came in power and strength. And as the disciples were anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit, and David was anointed with holy oil, they were endued with the power of the Spirit. Brother Branham says in Making a Way 56, David was going to battle. He didn't go flustered. He didn't go with a halfway mark. He didn't go thinking maybe it'll do it. But he waited in the mulberry bush until after a while it was dead silent, nothing going. After a while, way back in the distance, he heard the leaves start. Got louder and louder and louder. After a while, a great gusher of wind went on before him, and he knew that that was God and a holy host of angels going before him. It was God and a holy host of angels moving before him. Paragraph 52, brethren, don't jump up and think something when you're not right to go yet. Stay there and see that it's not joining a church, not shaking hands with the preacher, neither is it being baptized in water, but it's accepting God's provided sacrifice, Jesus Christ, as a person into your heart. The Holy Ghost will move on before you like a mighty rush, like a rushing wind, moving everything from the way. So we see here, Brother Branham's telling us, he's showing us that it was a great, mighty, rushing wind. It grew louder and louder and louder. And if we parallel this to the day of Pentecost, His presence was ushered in and the disciples went out into the streets. And it was a great demonstration of the Holy Spirit. It was a great moving of the Spirit upon His people, and as they began to go out into the streets, speaking in many unknown tongues and languages, to even the point that people thought they were drunk, that was the moving of the Holy Spirit in great display. Amen. That was God moving in great display amongst His people so that they could have victory. The Holy Ghost in your life gives you victory. That's the greatest victory that you'll ever possess, is obtaining the Holy Spirit in your life. Because why? That gives you the license for victory for every battle that will come. No matter what comes your way, the Holy Ghost in your life gives you the victory. And so God is not ashamed to give you the victory. God is not ashamed to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. God is not ashamed, if He would, come and give us a dose of His presence in this building tonight, because He is God and He will not be ashamed of His presence. And neither should you be ashamed of His presence. Neither should you be ashamed to walk and stagger in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But you should be proud, because that is your victory. Christ is your victory tonight. So I say, Lord, I want to have you fall and captivate us with that presence. Captivate us with that same power of the Holy Spirit. Let us tarry in the presence of God daily and be endued with power for victory. Let us be endued with power. I don't want any sprinkling. I don't want just a little dose, but I want a full immersion of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to be fully immersed, dunked down in that glory of His presence, so that I could walk out and have victory, so that I could regain the strength to pick up the sword like David did and go out and fight the enemy. So I could, like the disciples, go out into the world and not be ashamed of the gospel, not be ashamed of what God has done in our lives. You might have the Holy Ghost tonight, and I pray that we all do. But Christ living in that's Christ living in you, sorry. But we all need to have that mulberry tree experience more often. We might have the Holy Spirit, God's life, living on the inside of our hearts, and we're living holy before Him, but we need to have this mulberry tree experience. We need to hear that rustling. We need to hear the Word of God and be endued with power and get into His presence more often, so that we're fresh warriors, so that we're anointed, we have power, we're fresh for the battle. The Holy Spirit marks us. Brother Branham says in 1954, I don't have this one on the screen, but he says in the seal of God, now watch, what kind of mark did the Holy Ghost church receive? For a mark, and he asked the question, for a mark in their forehead? Was it a mark in their forehead? It was not, it was a spiritual sign. The Holy Ghost marked them. And I say tonight, Lord, would you mark us with your Holy Spirit? Would you put a mark on us that we are filled, that we, wherever we go, wherever we fellowship, whatever we do and say, that the Holy Ghost would follow us, that our lives would be a storytelling of the goodness of God. We've got to be sure that we have that identification. Because one moment in His presence, one moment in the presence of Almighty God will change us forever. It's not an experience of a church service or a time at camp or somewhere that we've had a good time in fellowship with other believers. But it's important that we have an experience with God Himself. How many knows Brother Branham says you go to church, when you go to church, you either leave better or worse. Yeah. You go to church, you either leave better or worse than you came. Yeah. So I got to thinking, why would this be? Why would Brother Branham say this? And how could you leave worse when you leave the house of God? But it's because every time we come to church, every time we come into the presence of God, it's an opportunity for a conference with God. Every time you come into His presence and you approach Him, it's a conference with God. And either you take what the Lord has supplied for you, either you take something that He's given to you in word and you take it and apply it to heart and you take it home with you, or you leave worse off because you left God where He was trying to meet you. And now you've missed out on an opportunity. You've missed out on something that God has supplied to you. He supplied something for your victory, and you've left Him there, and so you've left worse because you've left God where He was trying to meet you. We need to realize that every time we come before God, it's a conference. It's an audience with God. And we need to have more times where we're consecrated and we come and we really have fellowship and we don't miss out on what God's doing. We don't miss out on the conference. Because when we have a true meeting with the Holy Spirit, you could never be the same. If you have a true meeting with the Holy Ghost, if you have a true conference with God, you will never leave that moment different. There will grow a faith in your heart to know that you have felt God so near that no one could ever convince you otherwise. Nobody could remove that from you. Just think of the disciples in the book of Acts. Nobody could tell them that they had not experienced the day of Pentecost. Nobody could convince them out of it that they had an experience with God, that the Holy Ghost fell on them and they began to speak in unknown tongues. I couldn't convince them. You couldn't convince them. Nothing we could do or show or tell would change their mind that they had a conference with God. And so when you have a conference of God, when you have a true a moment with God where you've had an audience with him, there's nothing in this world, there's no idea, no doctrine, no preacher, no YouTube video, no conspiracy theory that could change your mind that you've had a conference with God. But if Christians are around saying they've had a conference with God, they've met the Holy Spirit, and they have, and then years later they turn around and they go some doctrine off in the way, it's because they never truly had an experience with God. They had never really met the pillar of fire, because if they would have, truly they would have been changed forever and they would not be in the place that they are. So we can see how important it is to meet God sovereignly and to meet him for yourself. Yes. 1954, the seal of God. I heard a sound from heaven like a mighty wind, God going before. This he's talking about the day of Pentecost. And suddenly there appeared unto them the Holy Ghost and power. Out through the streets they went, leaping and jumping and speaking in tongues and stammering of lips and shouting and acting like drunkard. Everybody just rejoicing and praising the Lord. That's what will happen when you get into the presence of God. That's what will happen when the Holy Ghost pours himself on top of you, and you become just like that. You will be submitted under the presence of God. Continuing on the next slide, the next quote, the same message. That's the way God does it when he sends his power down with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It moved in like that, and away went the message. Away went the message. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and they rejoiced, and they had a moment of rejoicing. And after the moment of rejoicing, the message went on. The gospel of Jesus Christ did not stop there at the upper room. If it would have stopped at the upper room, we would not be here where we are today. But the message moved on. And so as when you get an experience with the Lord, and then you've rejoiced and you've had a wonderful time, what will happen? Your heart will become strengthened and you will be encouraged, and the message in your life will continue on. The message, this scripture, these promises will continue on in your life, because that's what God has done. He's baptized you with the Holy Ghost. He's given you an experience with him so that it could strengthen you and give you power to move on.
Amen, amen.
God came in and in that way and signaled the Church of Acts, it's time to move. God signaled David, it's time to move. And God is signaling you, he's moving on your heart to receive him and take this message on forward. A shift has occurred. It was God moving before his people. And so if we can move behind God, if God would step out in front of us in our lives, then we would see the moving of God in our hearts and in our lives. I want to give you an example quickly of how having an encounter with God is so important. So if you have your Bibles, let's just turn quickly to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. If you just move over to verse 26. Now this is the story of the account of Jesus as he met the man of Gadara. And so we'll just read a little bit and go from there. Verse 26, and they arrived at the countryside of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. I'm just going to pause there. Earlier in the scripture, you can go back and read it. Jesus is preaching on one side of Galilee, and he feels compelled to go on to the other side, and he crosses over to meet a man. But in this portion of scripture, I think it's verse 22, they get into the ship, and what begins to happen is a storm begins to arise. And we have the account of where the Lord Jesus says, "Peace be still," to the storm. And that's the calming of the storm. And we won't read the whole account, but we can see how important it was for God, for Christ himself, to go across to meet this one man. He had one mission, and he only went to Gadara to meet one man. He got in the ship, went all the way. The devil tried to overthrow his plans. He tried to get in the midst, cause a storm to possibly overturn the ship so that Christ could not go to visit this one man. But because of the Lord Jesus and his promise and being God in flesh, he calmed the storm, and he was able to go on to meet the man on the other side. And so verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him when he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. So we have a glimpse of a picture of this man's life, of how tormented he was, how full of the devil he was. And it was because the devil had come upon him. It was not that the man was the devil, but the devil had come upon this man and is dwelling in his heart. And so Jesus saw this man from the other side of Galilee, and he knew that he had to go meet this man. He knew that he had to cross the sea, go through a trial, and calm the storm to meet one man. Amen. He went all the way there to meet one man. And when he did, watch what happens. He commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man. Yes. And Jesus asked him, verse 30, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. He was possessed. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep, into the waters. And there was a herd of swine, and we know the story that the legion asked Jesus to command them to go into the swine, to be gone into the lake, and there they were choked and died. But Jesus went to the Gadareans and only did one miracle. He only did one thing. He took the time and made the effort to go all that way for one man possessed of the devil. Why? It was because it was his plan to do it. It was his plan. It was exactly what God had provided for that man in Gadara. Yeah. It did not inconvenience the Son of Man. It was not a hassle for Jesus to cross the sea, calm the storm, to deliver one man. Amen. And God, I want to tell you tonight, God has made time for your need. God has made time. You are not an inconvenience to God so that he could come all the way just to you to deliver you. He will cross the sea to come and deliver your heart. God has made time for your need, and God has it in his way, in his perfect plan to heal your body. To God, you are worth stopping for. Now watch what Jesus says in Luke 8, 38 and 39. Now the man of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. This man wanted to follow Jesus. He asked him, Lord, let me follow you. Let me become one of your disciples. Let me go with you in your ministry and help you. And because of what greatness you have done. But Jesus sent him away because this man had a job to do. He had the job to return the thanks to the one that did it for him. He had the job. Jesus came to Gadara, saved one man, set him free, but that man had the job to spread the gospel in all his hometown, in all the places, to return the goodness of God, to show how great the things God had done for him. So that's what the Lord has asked of you, because it's his promise that he will come deliver you. It's in his word. If you need something tonight, you can come and you can get deliverance for it. And what the Lord is asking of us to do is to return the thanks, to give glory unto what he's done, and to what? To push this message on forward. When God does something for you, it's a good reminder to be sure to give thanks to God, to give glory where it's due. How great are the things that he's done for you?
Wonderful.
It took one encounter with Christ for this whole man's life to be changed. He was bound. The Bible tells us he was bound by chains, tied to a wall because the devil had so possessed him, he couldn't even be out in public. They had to chain him to a wall. But one moment, 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes in the presence of God, changed that man's life forever. You might be in a situation tonight where you're feeling the same way, like you're pressed up against a wall and you can't do anything. You can't get out of it. You might be in a condition where you're not possessed of the devil, but the greatest battle ever fought we know is in our minds. The greatest battle ever fought is oppression of the devil against you. And so there is one greater against all this oppression. There's one greater against all these struggles in your mind, and that is Christ.
Hallelujah.
So if you listen to Christ, you hear his voice sweetly speaking to you that it's time to move. Get up and accept your promise. Get up and accept your victory, because he's made a way. He's made a way through the Holy Spirit that you can have victory. There is a God that has come through the wind in the mulberry tree to go before you and win the battle on your behalf. Step into your deliverance. Step into that presence of God where no devil shall stand. Now, as we close tonight, just as David was instructed by God to wait and hear the sound of the mulberry tree and go and receive your victory. Yes. And when the rushing of the wind came into the upper room and they went into the streets proclaiming the goodness of God and the praises in tongues, and they rejoiced under the influence of the Holy Ghost, they went and claimed their victory of salvation. This man of Gadara spent one moment with God and was changed forever. He was changed, and he had experienced God.
Amen.
He had experienced the Holy Spirit in that time, in that season. And he went on and he claimed his victory by pronouncing and proclaiming the goodness of God in his life.
Amen.
And so there is one presence that will move you to make the difference. There is one spirit, and that is the presence of God. No person or ritual or church or feeling. Only one thing. And that's the Spirit of God that has gone before us to deliver us and deliver unto us the gate of our enemy. That's what the rustling of the mulberry tree was. It's the sound of God speaking to us. It's the sound of the Word of God speaking into our hearts, telling us it's now the time to move. It's now time to stand up. The Lord is signaling us to get up and fight. No longer is it time to stand by watching, because the sound of the Lord has come. The Word of the Lord has come, and it is now time to get up into victory and possess the gate of our enemies. Let's stand together. It's by the rustling of the mulberry tree that the Holy Spirit can come. Brother Branham says in 1959, just a small portion, and a prophet like unto Moses, he's having a prayer line, and he's praying for the sick, and he's discerning hearts, and he stops for a moment and he says, just have faith. Just open your hearts now in worship and believe him and receive him. That's what I want us to do tonight, is have faith. It might seem difficult to wait on the Lord. It might be hard to wait on listening for what God is speaking to us, to identify his voice through the chaos of this world, to identify the Lord speaking to us. But if we just wait on him and worship him and believe on him, there's a promise that you'll receive him and you'll go on through to have victory. That presence of the Lord will sweep down unto your spirit, and he'll anoint you and give you strength and peace for the journey ahead. He's here tonight, and we've invited him. And where he's invited and where he's talked about, he likes to be. And he wants to be, and he's promised that he'd come. And where two or three are gathered, there he would be in our midst. And so he's here tonight. So let's just maybe worship him for a few more moments tonight and lift our hearts, open our hearts, and just receive his presence. Receive this sound of the mulberry tree into our lives. Receive this outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us so that we could go into victory. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're looking to you now, Lord Jesus. We spoke the word, Lord, if you've helped us. Lord Jesus, we ask you that you would pour out your Spirit, Lord. We ask you, Father, that you would come down in a mighty way, Lord, and touch your people. Lord, how is this our desire to feel your presence, Lord, like a mighty rushing wind? Lord, we want you to just have your way. We want to have fellowship with you, Lord. We want to make sure that we've had an experience with you. And we want to have more experiences, Lord, in that divine presence. Maybe there's someone here, Lord, tonight that has not had this experience. Maybe there's somebody tonight, Lord, that would like to meet you like the man of Gadara did, where in one moment their whole life was changed. Like Saul on the road, Lord, you met him and changed his name to Paul. Lord, one moment there he was going to chastise and to hinder the Christians and to afflict them. But Lord, you met him there and you gave him an experience so great, Lord, that even you changed his name. I'd ask, Lord, that you would do that for somebody. Maybe they're here tonight and would like to ask you to come into their life and show them an experience with you. And you would just come, Lord, as you sweetly do, come and stand next to them and put your hand on their shoulder and let them know that you're right there with them. Maybe it's somebody, Lord, that's streaming that just needs a touch from you, Lord, that you would go into that room where they are listening in, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come and enter that room, Lord, and just be near them and show them that you're alive and well. Lord, that you want to touch them. Anoint us, Lord, we pray. As we worship you now, Lord, would you just receive our sacrifice and receive our offering of love, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.